Blackstone Audio presents Aspects of Faith by C.S. Lewis, edited by Leslie Walmsley. This book is read by Ralph Cosham.
10. Christianity and Culture. This collection of three articles was Lewis's part in a series of five papers first published in Theology, volumes 40 and 41, March-December 1940. It is now in Christian Reflections, 1998. The other writers were S.L. Bethell and E.F. Carrot, Replies to Mr. Lewis, and George Every, In Defense of Criticism. If the heavenly life is not grown up in you, it signifies nothing what you have chosen in the stead of it, or why you have chosen it. William Law. 1. At an early age I came to believe that the life of culture, that is, of intellectual and aesthetic activity, was very good for its own sake, or even that it was good for man. After my conversion, which occurred in my later 20s, I continued to hold this belief without consciously asking how it could be reconciled with my new belief that the end of human life was salvation in Christ and the glorifying of God. I was awakened from this confused state of mind by finding that the friends of culture seemed to me to be exaggerating. In my reaction against what seemed exaggerated, I was driven to the other extreme, and began, in my own mind, to belittle the claims of culture. As soon as I did this, I was faced with the question, if it is a thing of so little value, how are you justified in spending so much of your life on it? The present inordinate esteem of culture by the cultured began, I think, with Matthew Arnold. At least, if I am right in supposing that he first popularized the use of the English word spiritual in the sense of German geistlich. This was nothing less than the identification of levels of life hitherto usually distinguished. After Arnold came the vogue of Croce, in whose philosophy the aesthetic and logical activities were made autonomous forms of the spirit, coordinate with the ethical. There followed the poetics of Dr. I. A. Richards. This great atheist critic found in a good poetical taste the means of attaining psychological adjustments which improved a man's power of effective and satisfactory living all round, while bad taste resulted in a corresponding loss. Since this theory of value was a purely psychological one, this amounted to giving poetry a kind of soteriological function. It held the keys of the only heaven that Dr. Richards believed in. His work, which I respect profoundly, was continued, though not always in directions he accepted, by the editors of Scrutiny, who believed in a necessary relationship between the quality of the individual's response to art and his general fitness for humane living. Finally, as might have been expected, a somewhat similar view was expressed by a Christian writer, in fact by Brother Every in Theology for March 1939. In an article entitled The Necessity of Scrutiny, Brother Every inquired what Mr. Eliot's admirers were to think of a church where those who seemed to be theologically equipped preferred Houseman, Mr. Charles Morgan, and Miss Sayers to Lawrence, Joyce, and Mr. E. M. Forster. He spoke, I think with sympathy, of the sensitive questioning individual who is puzzled at finding the same judgments made by Christians as by other conventional people. And he talked of testing theological students as regards their power to evaluate a new piece of writing on a secular subject. As soon as I read this, there was the devil to pay. I was not sure that I understood, I am still not sure that I understand, Brother Every's position. But I felt that some readers might easily get the notion that sensitivity or good taste were among the notes of the true church, or that coarse, unimaginative people were less likely to be saved than refined and poetic people. In the heat of the moment, I rushed to the opposite extreme. I felt, with some spiritual pride, that I had been saved in the nick of time from being sensitive. The sentimentality and cheapness of much Christian hymnody had been a strong point in my own resistance to conversion. Now I felt almost thankful for the bad hymns. It was good that we should have to lay down our precious refinement at the very doorstep of the church, good that we should be cured at the outset of our inveterate confusion between psyche and pneuma, nature and supernature.